Sarasota, Tampa, St. Pete. And 107.3 WXGL HD2 St. Pete. Live from the WeatherTight Windows Studio. Unique opinions, compelling conversation, and the best in afternoon entertainment. Now, the conversation continues. It's time for John's Choice on Drew Garabo Live.
Olivia Newton-John, in case you're just joining us, dead at the age of 73 years old. We mourn her passing and celebrate her life by playing Look at Me, I'm Sandra Dee, the reprise, a reprise from the movie Grease.
Kiss my...
Oh, no, that was Hopelessly Devoted to You. Hold on 1 second. Let me think how that goes.
You got this. Thank you.
It's Look at Me, I'm Sandra Dee.
Look at me. There has to be something more than what they see. Don't know the words, but I'm making solid turns.
I am. No more diarrhea.
It's just plain Sandra Dee.
Then there's a little interlude with Frenchie where Frenchie's like, hey, you, Sandy, you coming to the party?
I don't know, Frenchie. I don't know if I should really come.
No, you gotta come. Everybody's gonna be there.
And then they go back into the song, and it's just very emotional. John Travolta mourning her passing on Instagram. Go check him out. But now it's time for John's Joints. Ooh. Guess you got that internet back, huh?
Nope, not my number one pick. That is from the old station computer behind me.
Good.
So not quite.
Okay. Are you able to carry on with your joints with no internet?
I'm going to do my best.
Okay.
I'm going to do my best.
I'm here to help.
Yeah. Sometimes where does this rank as far as favorites on the Blood Sugar Sex Magik album?
I would say in my pantheon of Red Hot Chili Peppers song, this song is bottom three.
Yeah, I kind of feel that way too.
I love the idea behind the song. I love that Anthony wrote it as a poem. And then either Flea or Rick Rubin found it, like, laying around or in a trash can or whatever, and was like, hey, let me put some music to this. You got to make it a song. But any enjoyment I may have had in initially hearing it got annihilated by the overplaying of it on FM radio.
How about this?
What? How about what?
Well, I'm sailing.
Now you're fine.
Yeah, we're back, baby.
Top 15.
We're back.
Man, that Flea's bass work on this combined with Frusciante's guitar, that's something special right there. Something Blood Sugar Sex Magik, I would say.
Yeah, I don't know what's been... That's been a thing. I don't know if I've mentioned it to you. We've been losing internet almost daily at some point.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. I know Roger and JP have been getting kicked off the air a lot lately.
No.
So, yeah, something is happening in the internet world. Maybe it's the weather. I don't know.
It's pouring out here in northern Hillsborough County.
Well, the father of the man who murdered Ahmed Arbery was sentenced to life in prison plus 7 years, hours after his son received the same sentence for the racist slaying of the 25-year-old black man. Greg McMichael, he's 66, was sentenced for hate crimes by a U.S. District Court judge in Brunswick, Georgia, just a short time ago. Like his son, he received another life sentence earlier this year. Ahmed Arbery's aunt, Diane, was one of the five who delivered an emotional impact statement before Greg's fate was read. She told the elder McMichael off for being a responsible father to his murderous son. Another example, I understand the wheels of justice move slow. Man, this happened. To think that we just now are finding out about their fate all of these years later, specifically based on the fact that it seemed so obvious at the time, February 23rd, 2020. So,
wow.
I mean, I guess 2 years isn't that bad. But the McMichaels armed themselves with guns and used a pickup truck to chase Arbery after he ran past their home on February 23rd, 2020. Brian joined the pursuit in his own truck and recorded cell phone video of McMichael shooting Arbery with a shotgun. The McMichaels told police they suspected Arbery was a burglar. Investigators investigators determined he was unarmed and had committed no crimes. The attack was characterized as a modern-day lynching and became a flashpoint case of unchecked racial violence. The good news here is in a place, and I lived in Brunswick, and I'm not saying that it's inherently racist, but it is in the Deep South. To think that justice can be served at, you know, in a fairly good way is probably a sign of some form of progress, right?
I suppose so. It just hurts my heart that anyone would take even a suspected petty theft so personally that they would track down another human being and shoot and kill him, regardless of the racial element, which I know plays a huge part in this. It's just another blow to humanity, let alone race relations.
You know, I've been kind of telling you that I've cut out a lot of meat. I haven't been very good to it over the last, let's say, 5 days. The child-friendly weekend didn't present, you know, tough to kick out the meat and cheese at Chuck E. Cheese, I will say.
Sure.
By the way, when's the last time you had a Chuck E. Cheese pizza?
Oh, I DoorDashed a Pasquale special just last night, John. No, it's been quite some time.
So obviously, what I'm about to say, like, keep it within the parameters of reality.
Come on, please.
I mean, I didn't know what to. Well, I'll tell you what I expected. I'll just come right out and say it. I was dreading that my dinner was going to be eaten at Chuck E. Cheese. Like,
okay,
that was
good.
Just. I was thinking to myself, how is this going to be good?
Right.
I enjoyed myself.
Did you get the salad bar?
No, we didn't get the salad bar. It was looking a little picked over, to say in a nice way. But I did get, we got, there we go. We got pizza, half pepperoni, half cheese, French fries, which I didn't remember ever being at Chuck E. Cheese.
Crinkle cut or not?
They were traditional, and boneless wings. And I have to say, my tummy hurt for the next 2 days. But at the time, I was blown away at how delightful it was. And I say all of that to somehow make a connection to my vegetarian lifestyle, to whether or not you should be trying to keep your 18-month-old child on a vegan diet. Because a vegan mother who said she and her family followed a strict diet of only raw fruits and vegetables faced sentencing a short time ago in the malnutrition death of their 18-month-old son. Sheila O'Leary, who was 38, was convicted in June on 6 charges: first-degree murder, aggravated child abuse, aggravated manslaughter, child abuse, and 2 counts of child neglect. In the death of Ezra O'Leary, a hearing was set for Monday in Lee County. O'Leary and her husband, Patrick, who faced the same charges, told investigators that the toddler also had gotten some breast milk, but the boy weighed just 17 pounds and was the size of a 7-month-old baby at 18 months.
Oof.
I mean, are you so overcome with your own beliefs that you are blinded to the fact that, I mean, I know it's painful to say, but that your kid is dying in front of your very eyes?
I think, I mean, once the kid starts to not gain the necessary weight to sustain life, you've got to sacrifice that part of you that believes you're standing up for your ethics and principles when it comes to, for whatever reason, you're vegan, and get your kid the sustenance that they need. The failure to do so makes you a monster of a human being, not just a negligent parent, a monster of a human being, knowing that you're not giving your kid the nutrition that your kid needs to grow and live.
And this is not an isolated event or just a one-child thing. They had 2 other kids in the house, 3 and 5, also terribly malnourished. A 4th child was essentially taken from the mother by her biological father during another case years ago where pretty much the dad came and said, my son is terribly sick and is not getting the food. And that malnutrition case went down in Virginia, and their other kid was taken from them. The lawyer showed pictures of O'Leary with one of her children during the trial, seeking to show that she never intended to harm them.
Each parent does things their own way, and that's beautiful and should be encouraged. But, man, to not be able to see that your kid is wasting away before your eyes, that's unfathomable to me.
You know, there really seems to be no boundaries that true hardened criminals looking to make a buck will go to. But man, that is serious.
Yeah, we've been getting some thunder boomers and frog stranglers out here in the afternoons in beautiful northern Hillsboro.
You might know this. You're smarter than me.
Huh?
What makes... Okay, this is going to sound like a stupid question.
Okay.
What makes thunder sound so different?
Proximity of the lightning strike, I believe. You know, the closer the lightning strike is to you, the quicker the thunder is going to be, and I believe the more intense the thunder is going to be. I know Mr. Delgado would probably have a better answer than that, but that's just my armchair pedestrian answer.
It's really the kind that I'm intrigued what is happening is that kind that almost just lingers, where it's real crunchy and crinkly sounding, and it's not just a single boom. It almost just bellows and roars for an extended period of time. Like, something must be happening differently from that thunder to a traditional...
Maybe Mike's weather page could answer that one. I heard I literally heard a lightning strike. Sarah and I were sitting on the lanai watching a storm, and a bolt of lightning happened, and you heard the lightning hit. It was like a bang, and then the thunder boomed, and that was terrifying.
That's crazy. That is really... Is it just me, or does it seem like more... Well, just in Florida, lots more things are happening. More people are getting attacked by alligators, and more people are getting struck by lightning.
I agree with that, and then there are more pythons down there, and snakes do have souls.
I was... You did hear that? I was hoping you did.
I was listening.
Yeah, dude. I mean, so you think they do?
I think every living thing has a soul.
But if you had to kill a snake or like a dog...
I couldn't.
But I mean, if you had to.
I couldn't.
I mean, you would be... It would be easier to kill a snake than a dog, right?
Well, yeah, sure. Okay. I mean, I love reptiles, but there's no question in my mind it'd be easier to lop one's head off than it would be to choke out a German Shepherd.
Yeah. I mean, if somebody wanted to take us, I mean, we could get down in the swamp and take one out.
The python hunt is... I treat it like alligator hunting season. I hate that some of my favorite creatures are killed, but I understand the necessity when it comes to sustaining a healthy ecosystem.
Well, and even, I mean, I think with the pythons, it's way more necessary, right?
That's like they right, just, brother.
Yeah, 27-inch pythons everywhere. An 11-year-old boy in Everett, Washington, was scammed by a man who bought a drink from the boy's lemonade stand.
Good Lord.
This guy is legitimately cleaning money at a child's lemonade stand. Counterfeit money. He paid with a counterfeit $100 bill. A Facebook post by the Everett Police Department said an 11-year-old named Jeremy spent his allowance to set up a lemonade stand to earn extra cash during the summer when a man approached with a fake $100 bill. The Facebook post said the man bought a drink from Jeremy with a counterfeit bill, but asked for exact change, to which Jeremy could only give him $85 using what he had of his allowance. Jeremy found out the $100 bill was a fake when he tried to purchase something at a local gas station. The police on Friday shared a GoFundMe page set up by a woman who identified herself as a neighbor of Jeremy. She wrote that she was seeking $250 to help cover his loss and give him more funds to possibly expand his enterprise.
This is one of those bad, unthinkable thing happens, and then faith in humanity gets restored because good things happen as a result.
Yeah. I mean, he had to have just known. Like, if you're looking, and again, I'm not giving any credit to the terrible criminal, but if you're looking for places that are guaranteed to not have one of those little pens that they can swipe on your $100 bill, or they're going to hold it up to a light, it's a damn 11-year-old kid running a lemonade stand.
Let that be a lesson to all of you kids out there who are running a lemonade stand. Invest in a counterfeit bill marker.
You know, I'm not trying to prove a morbid point here, but why is it that in terrible accidents, usually with younger people, the person driving always lives and their friends always die?
It's a great question. It's probably got a lot to do with the way the car is constructed. Maybe the steering wheel saves a life. Maybe there's less protection on the passenger side, etc. But it is a phenomenon that in so many of these accidents, the negligent driver lives and the innocent passengers don't.
Well, two teenagers lost their lives and a third suffered minor injuries after crashing into a power pole right over here on this side of the bridge in St. Pete early Saturday morning. According to police, a 17-year-old.
That
again has a weird connection to our discussion about children. Like, their life as a child is worrisome in so many ways, but then to think one day you just give them the keys and then they just go out into the world. I can't think of many things scarier than having a 16, 17-year-old out there driving.
Oh, man, especially in these storms. Every time I know that Xander's on the road and there's rain coming down like this, it is those are stressful moments.
According to police, a 17-year-old was traveling eastbound on 11th Avenue South around 12:45 a.m. What's the... we're not parent shaming here or anything, but is 17-year-olds 1 a.m. ish out cruising the streets, that we down with that?
That wouldn't necessarily wash with me as a parent, but there are parents out there who trust their teenagers to drive late at night, I suppose.
So the two passengers lost their life. And the 17-year-old driver was taken to John Hopkins All Children's Hospital with minor injuries. Not much known about what may have attributed to it. The crash is currently under investigation. Strange phenomenon that the driver always said. Maybe they should think about redesigning cars.
Or raising the age of driving to 18 or 21.
You think so? Would you be down with that?
No, I can't see that happening because, you know, we need those kids in the workforce. Some as young as 11 if it's a Chick-fil-A locally. They make them work 40-hour work weeks. What'd they get fined? $12,000?
Yeah.
Ooh. Chick-fil-A's going bankrupt now.
Dude, I attempted to go to a Chick-fil-A over the weekend, and something was terribly wrong. You don't see that very often.
What do you mean something was terribly wrong? What does that mean?
It was, I don't know. But I was going to go to a Chick-fil-A, and I went there, and when I tell you they were wrapped around the building 10 times, that's not an exaggeration. And there was a sign on the door that said, due to unforeseen circumstances, our indoor area is closed. And they had no people working outside in the drive-thru like they normally do. And it was just wrapped around the building so many times, I don't think anybody knew where the line began or ended. So it does happen, even to the best of us.
Okay.
Authorities have identified a Florida man who died while climbing in Montana's Glacier National Park. Bob Biondi, 79 years old. Man, 79, still out there climbing mountains.
Something.
Of Lutz died on July 25th after falling on Rising Wolf Mountain while he and a group of friends climbed an off-trail slope. The Associated Press said Biondi's friends rushed to his location and yelled for help. The local news reported that Two Bear Air took Biondi to... and they got some strange names, to Two Medicine Ranger Station, where he was sadly pronounced dead. This made me think of, if you're looking for something to watch on Netflix, I don't know that I told you about it, The Alpinist.
The Alpinist?
Yeah. It's on Netflix, and it is about this guy who is on the surface, take out the climbing portion of it, a fascinating human being, but he is this young guy who has been doing the most insane free climbing in the world and not telling anybody about it. He just goes out by himself and does these insane things. So this documentary crew finally locates him. They get some footage, but while they're filming the documentary, he decides he doesn't want to be a part of the documentary anymore. And it is some of the footage they have, man, is the most insane, nerve-wracking stuff I've ever witnessed. He's doing this cutting edge thing where he's hiking, or not hiking, he's climbing on partially frozen waterfalls.
Ooh.
So there's an area where he's however many thousand feet up in the air, and there's a piece of a waterfall about 4 or 5 feet thick, and he's chipping at it and hanging from it with no rope and nothing at all.
No, thank you.
Yeah, not for me.
Circling back to this story, though, it is kind of awesome that at 79 years old, this dude was out there climbing mountains. And I know this is a tragedy that befell him, and that's part of the inherent risk in climbing mountains. But what a great way to live your life. And I'm sure, it's an overused cliche. He died doing something that he loved. But would you rather die at 79 in a nursing home, or would you rather die at 79 falling off a mountain?
Yeah, and I think, and I don't, without fully knowing what this climb was, a lot of these people in certain climbing situations, if the threat of death wasn't there, they wouldn't be doing it.
Right.
So, you have to kind of take on that. The same thing that makes it something you want to do is the thing that's going to take you away. So.
Yeah, and I read that two other people died separately in an incident on that mountain that day.
That's so crazy.
That is something that I've never wanted to do. It's never been in me to, like, anytime I'm in a situation where, like, in Tennessee and North Carolina, they got some cool little waterfalls and trails that you can go to. Hey, man, No desire whatsoever to do that.
Yeah, I think a nice leisurely hike with some beautiful scenery is that'll do.
I'll take a hike any day.
Exactly. I am all burnt up.
Well, John, coming up next, the story and saga of Brittany Griner detained in Russia for the hideous crime of cannabis oil.
Oh, God.
Or hash oil, depending on who you choose to believe. It's been bantered about. You think you've heard every angle. Prisoner exchanges. Unfair sentencing. We've all been waiting for Elon Musk to weigh in. The great soothsayer and prophet of our time, Elon Musk, I say facetiously. We've been waiting to hear what he has to say about it. Now, I do have to say this.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.